Good morning, Cowboys Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the Writer's Block Podcast. I am your host, David Hellman, joined here on this Tuesday morning by Brandon Clements, the icebreaker himself. It's just the two of us today. Chris Holland cannot make it this week, but hopefully we will have the trio reunited next week when the Writer's Block is back again. But for today, we have a pretty good episode. We're getting to the dog days of summer. That period between, you know, the draft, which of course we've covered at this point endlessly, the free agency period that follows after, in which case the Cowboys did what they usually do, exceedingly little. And now we're just kind of waiting for training camp. There's a few OTAs sprinkled in here. Surely there's going to be some sort of headline, whether it's a contract that happens or, you know, God forbid a player gets in trouble or something happens like that. There's going to be something to talk about between now and training camp. But right now we've got, you know, just kind of general discussion topics when it comes to the Cowboys. Also with the dog days of summer is it's getting hot. I don't know. You know, we of course, with the Cowboys being America's team, being the world's team, we've got fans and listeners all over the place. So I can't speak for everybody, but this summer has already been off to a hot start. As someone who lives in Oklahoma, someone who born and raised in Arizona, I know hot. I feel like I can speak to a hot summer, and it's been pretty brutal so far. Brandon, you're up in the Northeast. I won't necessarily dox you in your exact location.
That's okay.
I mean, we were talking before the show, even being up in the Northeast, where I just think it's freezing cold all the time, snow all the time. You were saying it was hot too. Like they had a heat advisory. Like I didn't know that was possible up there.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, you know, like this past week. So, you know, last Monday through like, honestly, it was probably through Friday, Saturday. Like it was consistently in the mid 90s. And like and here's the thing, living in Central New York, you know, obviously being a proud Syracuse guy, myself, just a Syracuse New Yorker, you know, it, like they were talking about like a record stretch of weather up here, and it was brutal. You know, I had my daughter's birthday party this past weekend. It was a little bit milder. I want to say it was probably in the high 80s, but the humidity, because it rained and there were some thunderstorms around. Like the wetness with the heat, the humidity just was like, it was sticky. And, you know, I don't mind the heat. I I'm not an expert on heat. Cause I'm not an Arizonan. Like I'm not from that neck of the woods. Like I could talk about snow. I could talk about, the four seasons that we get here in Syracuse, New York. But yeah, I don't mind the heat. Unfortunately for me, as you can tell, I'm very fair skinned and, like my color of my shirt is red and I can think about going outside and I'm going to get burned. That's just how it goes. You know, luckily one of my kids has my wife's, more of that, you know, she gets a, you know, they can go outside for 30 seconds and they're very dark. My oldest, unfortunately, she's got my skin. So like we're both like lathering on like the sunscreen and stuff. I don't mind it. I love it. My skin just doesn't like it because, you know, being fair skin. And I did a lot of swimming this past week. Shout out to my neighbors. I don't have a pool, but have a couple neighbors that have pools, and we've been good friends with them, anyways. Both sets of friends, and both neighbors are great. And they just said, jump the fence, come on over, and you don't have to tell me twice when it's 95 degrees out. So,
did you actually jump the fence,
We have one of those. Those metal fences that like, you can put your foot in the hole kind of a thing. Like I can't, it's like a chain link. Is that what it's called?
Like a chain link fence. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could climb over it if I want, you know, being somebody.
Wait, is it like two? Why didn't you just like walk next door, go in the front door?
It seems like
so much more effort to hop the fence.
Well, I'm getting up there in age now. I'm 34. So, things don't work as well as they used to. But no, what I do is they have like that doggy door on the side. So like, you know, you just pop the latch and just kind of walk over. But I do have to jump to my other friend's fence because the way the configuration is. Yeah. So, doing that with kids is not always easy. So it's like one of us jumps over, hands the kid over, it's, it's effort, but we bring food, we bring good times, we bring our good energy, and we get to cool off. But yeah, it's been a scorcher up here, and it was milder today. It was probably in the 80s today, but we had a wind advisory. So we went from a heat advisory last week to wind, and the winds, which probably this sounds like nothing to, you know, folks down where you're at in Oklahoma, you know, that's in that neck of the woods, tornado alley, so to speak. We were getting like 40, 50 mile per hour winds today. So it felt good. I'm not gonna lie. It felt good being outside, but yeah, I'm good with the not 90s right now, because you get like 6-7 straight of those like days like that. You're like, all right, let me get a day to just, you know, chill out. The AC has been cranking. So it's, you know, it's not Tulsa, Oklahoma, but we get some heat up here when unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, and this week in Tulsa, it's supposed to be like 100 every day this week, and people are freaking out. And I'm just like, that's, you know, that's 4 months in Arizona. That's just the norm. That's the standard. It's like you wake up, and like, it's news if it's not 100. If it's double digits, you're like, wow, it's cold today.
Cold so, front.
and you know, and I lived that my whole life until 2 years ago when I moved out here. And I moved away for a reason. So I'm not happy to be back in triple digit weather, but at least I'm prepared. As the kids say, I'm built different. So I can handle that. What I cannot handle, Brandon, is the fact that we're, you know, into the end of June, close to the beginning of July, and the Cowboys, see, this is a nice transition. I didn't even plan for that. It just came to me. But the Cowboys, at this point, still have done nothing when it comes to contract extensions for their big three stars. We're talking, of course, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. And obviously, we've talked about all three of these to various extents. With Dak Prescott, the biggest question right now is, you know, he's going to go into the last year of his contract if they don't get a deal done before the season starts. And a lot of people anticipate that if that happens, he's going to test the free agent market next summer. At which point, like, it stands to reason that he will be way too expensive for the Cowboys to keep. So some would say naturally he makes the most sense to be their top priority to lock up. At the same time, CeeDee Lamb is kind of in a similar deal where you feel like they're going to get him done, but if they don't get him done and he gets to the free agent market, you know, he's also, now in CeeDee's case, they could always franchise tag him. They can't do that with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons is in a little bit different situation because they have the fifth year option. So they've got a little bit longer runway to work with him. But as we've learned from the way that they mishandled Dak Prescott's deal multiple times, multiple deals, and with CeeDee Lamb after the Justin Jefferson contract extension, sometimes it's a good idea to get these big deals done before other players at the similar position go out and change the market or reset the market. So I guess really the question today is, how should the Cowboys prioritize these three guys going forward? What should be the one that they do first, the one that they kind of prioritize after that? What's the order? Does it really make a difference for the Cowboys, or is this just like a, I don't care how you do it, just get them all done situation? Where do you stand, Brandon?
Well, I mean, obviously I want to get all three guys, you know, re-signed and you know, locked up for the long term. I mean, there's three of the best players at their positions in the game. Don't care what anybody says, especially with Dak. There's a lot of Dak haters out there, you know, and you know, obviously
sometimes you're one of them.
Well, hey now, I'm a Trey Lance truther. So, I mean, it's, you know, I love what Trey Lance can bring to the table, but I'm also a realist, and I'm also, you know, I'm also one of those people where, you know, you look at the graphic that they put up. I think we talked about it, you know, last week or in a recent episode where that you compare Patrick Mahomes and you compare Dak Prescott's stats. And, you know, the recent stats show Dak Prescott, the only thing that Mahomes is doing better at this point is obviously winning the big one, you know, so like that, you know, he's won a couple, he's done some work here in his short tenure in the NFL. But yeah, Dak to me, like, I love Dak. I love his story, you know, being a fourth round pick, you know, back in 2016, he was an afterthought. And then Tony Romo gets hurt. You know, we've heard the story, you know, and then he eventually takes Tony's job and Tony retires and goes to the booth and starts working with Jim Nance in the CBS crew. But, Dak, it's a tough situation because I'm sure you've seen the reports out there. There's probably no legs to stand on, but of course the owners are, some of the owners out there are having these discussions about having a salary cap for quarterbacks, which in theory, I can see why, because these contracts are getting so big, but the quarterbacks know they're the most important position on the field, and you need to pay your most important players. And if you want to win football games, you have to figure out how you get those deals done. And the Cowboys have three contracts coming up that are very important. Now, I would like to start with my third priority because I want to finish up with my top, because that's, to me, I think we got to leave a little bit of meat on the bone for the finish line. So I'm gonna swing down to my three hole, where for me it's Micah Parsons. I think Micah Parsons is, you know, he's that edge linebacker hybrid player. We're gonna see what he does in Coach Zim's system. Like, I think he's gonna have a great season. I honestly think he's gonna get close to 20 sacks this year. I just have that feeling. I think he's on the right track for that. He had a hell of a season last year. He's had a hell of a career since getting, you know, joining the Cowboys, you know, as a rookie out of Penn State just a few years ago. Can't believe how quickly that's gone. But the reason why I put him as the third priority, it's not because he's the third best player out of this big three that we're talking about. It's because he's a free agent in 2026. And what you mentioned before is there's a little bit of a runway to work with. Like, we don't have to get his deal done first. I feel like there's other players that I'm going to get to in a moment that are, you know, top priorities, because not only are those players' positions, like, the pay's going up, but their contracts are up after this. Like, they're going to be free agents after this season if things do not work out a certain way. That's just how it's going to be. Like, CeeDee Lamb, for example, he's going to get Justin Jefferson money, like it or not. Dak Prescott is going to get he's going to go ahead of Jared Goff in that $53 million annual salary. It's just the Cowboys have to swallow the pill and just pay him. And for Micah Parsons, let's wait a year. And I mean, I'm looking here at the salary cap. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys come off the books for 22 at the end of this coming year. And the salary cap I'm looking at here, of course, this is, you know, from SpoTrack, which I know a lot of people check out for cap numbers and just cap analysis. Currently, they're showing cap space of $67.5 million. So that tells me there's some runway. You know, obviously they're going to sign some of their players back and whatnot, and maybe bring in some free agents and all that. But there's going to be some more runway to get Micah Parsons' deal done this time next year. So we'll be talking about this next year. I'll be saying, if he ain't paid by July, we're going to have a problem here. So Micah Parsons, to me, he's the best player out of this big three, in my opinion. He's one of those guys that he's a building block. He's a pillar. He's the kind of player you want on your team. And the Cowboys will make sure they do everything in their power to keep him. It's more so not right now. It's going to be next year. They're going to do the deal next year, and they'll get him signed. They'll figure it out. And here's my projection for him. He's going to be close to $40 million a year next year. That's just the fact of life. I think he comes in, if I had to put a guess on it now, not knowing what the next big contracts are going to be for defensive players, especially on the edge, I would say right now he's probably going to be a $36, $37 million a year player, which some people might say that's a little high, but Micah Parsons is a generational talent. So you got to keep him in. You got to keep him in a Cowboys uniform, because how sick would you be if you said, yeah, I don't really want to pay this guy that kind of money. He goes and plays for one of our arch rivals and just demolishes us twice a year. Like, I couldn't fathom that. So Micah's deal is going to get done. He's just going to be the third priority. Who's your third priority?
You know, okay. I'm going to agree with you on Micah being the third priority for a couple of different reasons. So first off, like, Micah, when he gets paid, he's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. I don't think there's anything remotely bold or controversial about saying that.
No, not at all.
And right now, it's just a question of, like, well, who's the highest paid defensive player now take that and, you know, bump it up a little bit, and that's going to be the starting point for negotiations with Micah. So from Micah's perspective, there is zero reason to get a deal done now when, like you said, he's not a free agent until 2026. Obviously, the Cowboys aren't going to wait that whole time, but, you know, they could always go the franchise tag route. You know, at the end of his fifth year, if they haven't gotten a long-term deal, which is entirely possible because the Cowboys, until this year, had used the franchise tag like so many years in a row, were consistently using it, and have a tendency to drag these contract negotiations out, especially with their star players, and then, you know, cobble something together at the last moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up going the franchise tag route. But even still, the longer that Micah does not have a deal, same thing with Dak Prescott, by the way, same thing with CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. The longer that he goes without a deal, the more his price goes up. So for Micah, it makes zero sense to get a deal hammered out right now, especially with so much uncertainty around, you know, first of all, how is he going to do in the Mike Zimmer defense? Two, is Mike Zimmer even going to be his defensive coordinator a year from now? Because as we know, Mike McCarthy, Mike Zimmer, all these other coaches, one-year deal. So it's like that could change a lot of the calculus for him. At the same time, if Dak Prescott is not extended, whether it's before the season or after the season, and the Cowboys are starting over at the quarterback spot going into 2025, that also, as Stephen Jones likes to say, that frees up more pie to be heading Micah Parsons' way.
Yeah,
because you're not paying that much money for a quarterback. So I think that for a lot of reasons, it makes sense to prioritize Micah third out of these three, largely just from Micah himself saying, I'm good, I'll just wait. And the price tomorrow is not going to be the price it was today. Yep. And, you know, I think from that perspective, you know, it makes perfect sense for him to wait a little bit. And the Cowboys in general have their own, they already are going to wait because that's what they do with these contracts is they wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think for a lot of reasons it makes sense. If I were in charge, I would get him done sooner. But that would be the case for all of these. You know, I look at Howie Roseman in Philly and, you know, the way that he got both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith extended ahead of time, the way he got Jalen Hurts extended ahead of time. Even going back further, you know, he was very proactive with extending Carson Wentz. And obviously that's an example where it didn't work out because very soon after that, Carson Wentz made it very clear he was not worth the contract he was being paid. But the Eagles were able to get out of that within a couple of years. They were able to get Jalen Hurts and develop him, and they've put a good team around him. And I look at that and I think, like, one, be proactive in your contracts, and two, be proactive in recognizing when you've made a bad decision and correcting that decision, which the Eagles have also been pretty good about. Whereas the Cowboys are like, we're going to take our time, we're going to make sure we make a good decision. And to be fair, they have a pretty good success rate right now. They draft very well. A lot of the time, the guys that they sign to large long-term contracts tend to be worth it. But they also do take a long time moving on from their mistakes, such as a former linebacker, such as, you know, a couple of other decisions that they've made in the past where they've kind of held on too long. One could even say Jason Witten probably stuck around a little too long. And when he came back after retirement, he was very clearly not himself. Some would even say bring him back Ezekiel Elliott as an example.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I think Micah probably is the third priority out of those three. I think that's the right decision for the Cowboys. I think that's the right decision for Micah Parsons. But I think another reason why it makes sense to kind of prioritize him third is because of the way that I would prioritize those first two. But I'm not gonna spoil that yet, because Brandon, you set us up very nicely in the order that we're going here. So Brandon, having said that, teed it up perfectly for you. Who's your number two priority?
So for me, you know, this might come as a surprise because, as you alluded to early on, and obviously we've done a number of these shows in recent years, and you know, everybody knows how I feel about Trey Lance. So, you know, in this case, obviously by process of elimination here, you're going to hear my second one. You're going to know who my number one is. So with that being said, my second priority is CeeDee Lamb. I think, you know, and obviously that leads to Dak being one, which we'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, focusing on Mr. 88, CeeDee Lamb himself, he's a guy whose deal is going to be coming up here right, you know, after this year. Like, he's due to get paid. And Justin Jefferson reset the receiver market. Like, he's making that bag. And I, you know, what I'm seeing from, you know, just different projections and different market values, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is going to get $34 million. I think that's where he's going to come in at. I think he's going to be worth every single penny. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, with this whole 18-week season, 17-game season, you're paying him $2 million bucks a game. That's fine by me. As long as he produces,
he can make it.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Like, CeeDee is, to you know, in my opinion, and you know, the stats don't lie, he's an elite receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the game. You know, anyone that says differently might want to go back and watch the tape, especially this past year. He makes the Cowboys a different juggernaut on offense. He makes Dak Prescott, who obviously is going to be my top priority, makes him look even better, because CeeDee Lamb does things with the ball in his hands that very few can do, and he's just electric. And every time he gets the ball in his hands, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes for six, even if it doesn't – maybe the play design just doesn't look great. CeeDee can make a guy miss and just go 70 yards down the field and just, you know, and score a touchdown. Like, he's that elusive. He's just that talented of a player. And, you know, for me, he is a franchise receiver, and franchise receivers need to get paid. And, you know, for me, 34 mil a year, I'm good with it. I'd do it for 4 years, you know, 4 year contract, you know, and just, you know, let him play it out. Let him play the, you know, I'd let him play 3 out of the 4 years and see where we're at that point. But lock him down for, you know, for his 20s, because, you know, once he gets to that end of that second contract, you know, we'll see where he's at. Maybe from there you do, you know, kind of a 2 year deal at that point, 1 and 1, you know, some sort of options. But I think the next step in the contract for CeeDee is doing somewhere in that, you know, let's see. I mean, you know, 4 years, you know, doing the quick math. Let's see. What do we got? 138 million. I think I did that pretty quickly. 138 or 36, something like that.
I like the analytics, but I can't do a lick of math. So I can't tell you if you're right or wrong.
Let's see. I'm going to do it quick. So 68 for two, you know, so yeah. So 70 is 140. Yeah. So it'd be, yeah, so it'd be 166. I think I did that right. So, but either way, 34 million. No, 176. Excuse me, 176. So 34 mil per year, 4 year deal. Lock them up, and then, you know, keep them happy, because I don't want to hear anything about these franchise tags and all that stuff. Like, I'm sick of that. Like, to me, it's gonna cause there's gonna be some salt and some wounds from the player perspective, because they're going to be like, I don't want to play under a franchise tag and you're sticking a tag on me anyways. Like, I think it's going to create some bad blood. And I just, you know, for me personally, I would rather just lock them up long-term. And for me, you can build around a receiving core that has CeeDee Lamb as your number one guy. Like, look what the Packers are doing. Like, the Packers, like, I feel like every, you know, and I know it's maybe not the greatest example, because Aaron Rodgers is probably like, wow, you know, like, you know, they never drafted a receiver in the first round, like, for like ever with the Packers. But my point is, if you have a dog like CeeDee Lamb, who's a legit number one receiver, you can get guys on rookie deals that keeps that cap number, even not only for the team, but in that position, the average pay is actually pretty decent. So you could build around that, you know, like a guy like Ryan Flournoy, he's going to be a sixth round pick. You can build. Yeah, I'm just mentioning it. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just using it for an example. You know, you could, a guy like that, you're not paying it. He's not going to be a huge cap number. So I think, you know, building it around CeeDee Lamb for the receiver core and pay him big bucks. And then, you know, giving Dak Prescott, assuming Dak Prescott is back for the long term, his number one weapon, I think it makes too much sense. The Cowboys got to get something done, because CeeDee Lamb is an integral part of a team that is close to the championship level, and without CeeDee Lamb, they're going to be setting themselves back a few years without him.
Yeah, I think you know, you've made a very good case, I think a compelling case both ways. One for Dak being the top priority, two for CD being the number two priority. I mostly agree in terms of my order, but what I would say is, so the original question was how should they prioritize getting these guys signed? And we both are in agreement that they should re-sign all three. Like
100%.
You know, like fundamentally, an NFL team is supposed to acquire talented players. And then once they acquire those talented players, keep them there. They've done that in spades with these three guys, so you might as well keep them. That said, I think the number one question starts and ends with Dak Prescott. Not necessarily signing him, but figuring out what you want to do there. And, you know, the Cowboys have been, you know, they've played this game where they're like, you know, Jerry comes out and says, oh, yeah, like, you know, Dak's going to be our guy. He's going to be our quarterback. But then they just don't do anything. They don't, they're not on speaking terms with his agent. You know, Dak has kind of, you know, originally when he spoke about it this offseason, he said, oh, a deal will get done. And then next time he spoke, he was like, you know, we'll see where things leave. You know, he said something like, you know, wherever I'm playing a year from now, like, we'll see. And it was like, oh, okay. Something changed in how you're talking about this. Yeah. So if the Cowboys decide that they're ready to move on from Dak Prescott, and I wrote an article about this before the draft, saying that they could be taking a page out of the Minnesota Vikings playbook, with the, you know, connective tissue being the Vikings front office now is very analytically friendly. Their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, is an analytics guru. He had done, you know, that kind of work with the Browns and before that the 49ers. And of course the Cowboys a year ago, you know, made significant strides in beefing up their own analytics department. And what the Vikings have done, obviously they had Kirk Cousins who kept them competitive. Their GM, when he first took over a couple of years back, used the term competitive rebuild. And, you know, that first year, you know, they won a bunch of games, made the playoffs, and then lost right away. This past year, they, you know, had a few injuries at quarterback. They were kind of close to being, you know, being able to make the playoffs. And they've got Justin Jefferson, who's a phenomenal player. They locked him up. They let Kirk Cousins walk in free agency. And now they're starting over at quarterback with J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold. Technically, he's in competition, but we know how that's going to go. J.J. McCarthy is supposed to be the future. And they're now in a spot where they've got a lot of cap space. They just use some of it on Justin Jefferson, but they've got a phenomenal passing offense. You know, Justin Jefferson's a top weapon. Jordan Addison had a good rookie year. T.J. Hockenson is quietly one of the best receiving tight ends in the game. They have a pretty good offensive line. Their running game has been effective despite not having like a star number one running back. Their defense took a big step last year. So they're kind of in a spot where now suddenly like you kind of want to be where if J.J. McCarthy is who they think he is and he can be their franchise quarterback, you've got a pretty stacked team around your young quarterback that you can funnel money into building that roster while he's on a cheap deal, which is what the Cowboys should have done when Dak was on his rookie deal and they didn't. Yep. And so they've kind of put themselves in a spot now where if they do let Dak Prescott walk, they're also in a spot where they can extend CeeDee Lamb. They can extend Micah Parsons, remain stellar on defense because you have Micah and all the other pieces around him, Trayvon Diggs, Deron Bland, you know, Mozzie Smith, also a star player on that defense. And you've got CeeDee Lamb, you've got Jake Ferguson. They just spent a bunch of draft picks on the offensive line to fortify that. And so you've got similar pieces to where you can build around a young quarterback and spend a lot of money if you have a young quarterback that you believe in. So then the question is, do you believe in Trey Lance? Do you believe in Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, someone else that's going to be in the draft next year that I...
Yeah, Kyle McCord out of Syracuse, yeah. Sorry, I had to throw Syracuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got jokes here at the writer's block. You know, like, do you believe in that? And I think, personally, I still say we know Dak Prescott is going to get you to the playoffs. I believe he can get you through the playoffs, and I can believe he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. But I think first and foremost, they got to figure out what they're going to do there, because if you're going to pay all three of these guys, it's going to take some creative negotiation. It's going to take some foresight, honestly, to be aggressive with these deals in a way that they have not been, both with these specific players and also just historically. So if they decide, though, that they want to hit the reset button at quarterback, then get CeeDee locked up right away, get Micah locked up right away, and then focus on who's going to be our cheap quarterback, whether it's Trey Lance on a, you know, low contract because he hasn't proven anything yet, or if it's a rookie quarterback that you draft next year with, by the way, a draft pick that won't be very high, because Dak Prescott's for sure playing in 2024. And they're, you know, even if they somehow miss the playoffs, they should still be far too good to have a high draft pick. So that's kind of where I'm at, in agreement ultimately with you, Brandon, that it should be Dak number one, CeeDee number two, Micah number three, but also understanding if Dak's not going to be actually signed to an extension, it pretty drastically changes how you pursue those deals and those negotiations.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think if the mindset, or, you know, whether it's Jerry Jones and the Cowboys front office, or, you know, Dak and his representation, like if there's some sort of thing like where they're just dug in, they're like, nah, you know what, we're just not going to move forward. We're just going to play out the contract and figure it out. Then if it gets to that point, then CeeDee Lamb and Micah need to get locked up, because I don't want the Cowboys to get into a bidding war. Because if Dak Prescott hits the open market, as much as people may laugh at this, and, you know, and that's the thing, you know, being a part of the Cowboys Nation, you get a lot of flack from all the other, you know, the other 31 teams. They just, you know, they hate us because they ain't us, you know, they ain't America's team. So like I don't think, realistically speaking, what, 20 teams, 20 out of those 31 teams would upgrade their position at quarterback if Dak Prescott is their quarterback. And I think at least half the league, depending on how things shake out with their, you know, with whatever their respective, you know, quarterback battles are and with their performances, that could commit, that could be priced out, like you mentioned, where they're like, the Cowboys could be like, I'm not bidding against this team. I'm just not going to do it. And then, you know, then they're between a rock and a hard place. And then you're sitting there with CeeDee Lamb, like, wow, we didn't get him done either. Like, and then Dak and CeeDee could say, you know what, we're going to make this a package deal and do what, you know, what the NBA teams do, and, you know, team up and go somewhere else and tear things up. I mean, I don't see that happening, but it, you know, you just don't know in this day and age, you know, things are the way they are. Players like to play with certain players, and Dak and CeeDee might have that type of relationship where it's almost like that Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, where it's like they always want to play together kind of a thing. So it's like I could see that, you know, from that perspective. But Dak Prescott, to me, I think, and everybody knows how I feel about Trey Lance. I'm the guy who's, you know, I've been kind of making my mark on the whole Trey Lance could be your future starting quarterback in 2025 guy. Like, and I'm not afraid to say that, because we're in this position right now that we're almost in July as of recording, and there's no deal in sight for Dak Prescott, which makes me a little hesitant to say that Dak's going to be here in 2025. And if that's the case, if they get to close to the season, I know Dak doesn't like to do, you know, talk that stuff during the season, which I respect 100%. I think once the season starts, you close that business door and you focus on ball and you focus on winning football games. I respect the heck out of that for Dak. So if they can't get something done by like the last week of August, or like the first couple days, like Labor Day weekend, like if they can't, you know, get a deal done by Labor Day, then to me, like, it's time to go over to CeeDee Lamb and say, all right, we'll give you 34 right now for 4 years. Let's get the deal done and sign on the dotted line. And then, you know, once that's done, like you mentioned, all right, Micah, let's get you signed. And then that right there, you're going to have $70 million plus, maybe, depending on where the contracts fall, of annual pay for two players. Not only just mentioning what you're going to have to pay in guarantees and how you got to structure those deals. It's there's things that have to happen, but it all starts with Dak Prescott. And And for me, as someone who is a Trey Lance guy, and I always have been, and I'm, you know, people can call me crazy for it. That's fine. Like, I believe in Trey Lance more than maybe the general public, you know, maybe does. But if, you know, at the end of the day, I do want Dak Prescott as our quarterback. I do, as the Cowboys quarterback, because for me, Trey Lance is still a gamble at this point. And I'm not afraid to say that part either. The Cowboys could also be in that situation too, where they're like, they might just say, you know what? Let's see how Trey does in the preseason, because he's going to get a lot of run in this preseason. We're going to see, you guys watch, you guys, everyone's going to, all of Cowboys Nation, we're all going to be watching those preseason games. You're going to see a lot of Trey Lance. You're going to get to know Trey Lance very well. And if Trey Lance shows even just a sprinkle of what the Niners thought they saw in him, you know, just a few years back, then Dak's not a Cowboy next year. That's just what it is. But that could all change. We could be talking in 2 weeks from now where Dak and his representation in the Jones family with the Cowboys, they work out a deal. So it's, I think the deadline for me is end of August, first week of September, obviously right before the season starts. Or to me, Dak Prescott's not a Dallas Cowboy in 2025, which I think the way he's playing right now is at such a high level, I think is not a good look, because Dak Prescott, to me, is an elite quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. People can hate it all they want. Go look at the stats. You know, him and Patrick Mahomes side by side, you do a blind resume, take the Super Bowls out of the equation, because we all know how many Super Bowls Mahomes has won, and we know Dak has got the goose egg, he's got the donut right now. But if you look at the other stats, he's outperforming Patrick Mahomes. And to me, I would try to get that deal done as soon as possible, because NFL teams out there right now that are not playing well, and they're the cellar dwellers, they're wishing they had a franchise quarterback like Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys have him right now. Get the deal done, or it's Trey Lance's show in 2025.
Yeah, and you said that you think your deadline is like end of August, beginning of September. I would actually say it's beginning of August.
Wow.
I would say because if right now there are zero quarterbacks under contract for 2025 for the Cowboys. Because Trey Lance is a free agent after this year. Cooper Rush is a free agent after this year.
Yep, Coop, yep.
And like you said, Trey Lance is going to get plenty of run in the preseason. Here's my thing. If the Cowboys are going into week one and none of these quarterbacks have had their contract extended, like if Trey Lance has done and performed well in preseason, there's zero reason for him to stick around in Dallas after that year.
I agree.
And if Dak Prescott goes into week one and he hasn't signed a new deal, there's zero chance that he's coming back. Because if he hits the free agent market, he's going to get $60 million a year. And some people will laugh at that, but that's just the reality. Those numbers go up once you're on the open market and you've got a bunch of teams bidding for you. And Dak Prescott will have a bunch of teams bidding for him. It'll be in the double digits. And it's funny. What's that?
You're not wrong. You're smart.
No, thank you. I know I'm not wrong. That's why I said it. but like 60, it's funny because like back when the Cowboys were doing this first dance with Dak Prescott, and it was, you know, there were reports, rumors, whispers that they could have gotten him done for $34 million, and they thought that wasn't right. And then when they ended up paying him, it was closer to $40 million, and people were saying, oh man, like, you know, we overpaid, like $40 million is so much. And now we're saying if he hits the free agent market, he's going all the way up to 60.
Yeah.
Which in just a few years, and that just gives you an idea of how these markets change, which is why it's a good idea, once again, to get all these guys locked up early. Because you're going to, even if if they overpay today to get Micah done today, 2 years from now, it'll be cheaper than what they would have paid if they did it 2 years from now.
Let me stop you real quick. I know, like you mentioned, I want to take a step back with the Trey Lance part. I know how I know tongue in cheek how you feel about, you know, with Trey Lance, but if you're the Cowboys and you like Trey Lance, which they seem to like him obviously at this point, do you pull? I wouldn't say like you're not going to pay him what Carson Wentz got in that contract with the Eagles, but would you offer him something before the preseason and say, hey, you know,
that's what I was getting to was The Cowboys, that's why the deadline needs to be beginning of August. Because if Dak, if you get to that point and Dak is not going to sign that deal and you're not prepared to offer him a deal that he will sign, get Trey Lance locked up to a 2 or a 3 year deal before he steps on the field in preseason. Because as of right now, he has no leverage. It's not like there's no team out there that's like, oh man, I can't wait for a year from now. We're going to go get Trey Lance and that's going to solve our problems.
Yeah.
And so like, and for Trey Lance's perspective, he's not going to play in the regular season. So if the Cowboys come and say, hey, we're going to give you a 3 year deal and it's going to be like, you're going to be the highest paid QB2. There's no reason he wouldn't take that at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you've got him throughout this year. And then you've got 3 years on a reasonably cheap deal to where if he goes out and wins your starting job and looks good, great. If he doesn't, you've just got, you know, you're still not paying that much.
What would you consider a good annual pay for him? Like 15 mil?
I think that's solid. I mean, honestly, with the way the quarterback market is going, 20 mil wouldn't even be that bad if you consider you're not also going to be paying, you know, 45, 50, whatever for Dak Prescott or another guy like him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but locking him up, I mean, if you have your QB1 next year and he's making 20 mil a year and he's good.
That's a bargain.
Like, that's a huge deal.
Let me ask you this.
So I think if you're not, if you like give Dak Prescott that deadline, we're going to make a decision one way or the other. Either you're sticking around for the next few years or we're going to part ways after this season. Have that deadline be in August before the preseason. And if the answer is no, and he's going to be somewhere else in 2025, get Trey Lance locked up now.
Let me ask you this then. If say the Cowboys, hypothetically speaking, we were throwing 15 million for, you know, like a 3 year. So if the Cowboys, you know, a month from now, so the end of July, they say, Trey, you know, you haven't played preseason ball yet. We want you to be part of the future. We give you 3 years, 45 mil. We'll give you whatever guarantee, you know, they'll figure out the guarantees and all that. Does that completely knock you out of the Dak Prescott sweepstakes? Are you willing to pay roughly $75 million, maybe $70 to $75 million a year for two quarterbacks?
I wouldn't be, because there's no reason. If you're paying what it takes to keep Dak Prescott, like, you know, not to say don't pay attention to your backup quarterback, because the Cowboys have learned their lesson a couple of times about ignoring the backup spot.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the days of paying for Kyle Orton are over. You know, they learned their lesson and paid Kyle Orton a bunch of money to be their backup. And then they figured out after that, like, hey, Cooper Rush can be a decent backup quarterback, and he can win you a few games if you've got some good coaching, if you've got a good supporting cast.
And I hate that, knock on wood, you know, all that. Like, in this scenario where, you know, say we go into next season where Dak Prescott's the, you know, the guy, and then we just bring in some other, you know, random players to fill out the quarterback room. We're one injury away from Dak Prescott to have on our whole season be down the drain. I mean, I wouldn't, for me personally, like, I wouldn't be upset if the Cowboys paid a little bit of a premium for Trey Lance, but also figure out a way to get Dak done, because we obviously, Dak has had the injury issues before. Obviously, you've seen that. Because my thing is, if you're in that particular window when you got guys like CeeDee Lamb and, you know, you have a Micah Parsons on the roster, and say Dak goes down, I'd be very comfortable with Trey Lance taking over and playing, you know, even if he plays as an average player, but all the other parts around him are so good, that could save your season and potentially, you know, I'm not saying he's going to do what the Niners did, you know, well, the guy who replaced him with the Niners did. But my thing is, I feel like, obviously, you want to have your number one quarterback, Dak Prescott, in that situation. But I don't want it to be such a drop-off where you're bringing in, like, Will Greer, you know, to be your quarterback. Like,
hey, no, man, I liked Will Greer. I liked what
me the too. Saw out of him. Me too. I was a Will Greer guy, too. Like, I liked him in college. He played West Virginia, played at Florida. Like, I liked what he had to bring to the table. But, like, for me, like, what he showed in live reps, I'm like, that guy's not going to win a lot of football games for us. So it's like, I want to have a backup where I know, like, okay, maybe Trey can just be a quality backup at this point behind Dak Prescott. And if Dak gets hurt, we have somebody that can step in right away. And just, he knows the offense because Mike McCarthy already says he knows the offense, like 95% of it. No, so he knows all the, he knows all, you know, all the checks and everything. Like, he's got that part down. So there's no learning curve. And they just hand the keys to Trey and say, okay, while Dak's out, go win us some football games.
I'll respond with a legendary quote from a coaching legend, Tom Moore, who isn't very well known because he was never a head coach, but he's been in the business for a long, long time.
Peyton Manning.
Coached the Colts during the Peyton Manning era, was a longtime assistant for Bruce Arians with the Cardinals and the Buccaneers, has learned more or has forgotten more about the sport than either of us combined will ever learn. And he was asked one point back when he was with the Colts why he never gave Colts backup quarterbacks practice with the ones, with you know, Peyton Manning being the number one quarterback. And I'll edit this a little bit for the audience because it is a, you know, family-friendly audience. But he said, if 18 goes down, we are screwed and we don't practice screwed. Point being, you know, if you lose a guy like Peyton Manning, if you lose a guy like Dak Prescott, and like you lose him for a large chunk of time, it really doesn't matter who your backup quarterback is. That's why Brock Purdy and his story is so special, because that almost never happens. Like, it was like him and Kurt Warner and Tony Romo and Dak Prescott. And like, those guys are special for those reasons, because it doesn't happen. And yeah, Tom Brady too, but he's also, we understand he's like the ultimate exception, but point being, like, you can go out and have a high price backup quarterback, but at the same time, like, he's the backup for a reason. If you felt great about him being your number one guy out there, he would be your number one guy. So
why not pay up for a good insurance policy though?
What's that?
Why not pay up for a good insurance policy?
As someone who sells insurance for a career, you got me there.
I know what I was doing. We've had plenty of talks, you know, off the record button, so to speak, and I had to throw that in there because, you know, obviously your line of work, so to speak. So that's my thought. Like, I you don't want to bubble wrap. I get that, but it's like, I think, you know, your next best thing is have a good backup plan. God forbid something happens. Your team's not, you know, you're not Matt Castle. You know, I mean, yes, it worked out with the whole Matt Castle thing without, you know, obviously the players we got, but that Matt Castle run was not fun. Like, it was some of the worst football I got to watch, and I don't want to do that again. So if I have to pay a little extra to keep a quality young quarterback prospect around, I'm okay with it as long as the price isn't too high.
Here's the other thing is when Cooper Rush was starting those games and he won like all of them until he played the Eagles, and everyone was saying, you know, it got to a point where there was discourse about like, see, Dak Prescott's not that good because Cooper Rush can win. Same thing with Brock Purdy. And then suddenly they were saying like, oh, this guy's played so well. Like, clearly he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. And, you know, and it's like, In a way, having a bad backup that plays like a backup is supposed to underscores how good your starter actually is. And, you know, in those years when Tony Romo went down, suddenly nobody wanted to talk about all the times that he's choked a game, which was actually really not that many. It was, you know, very, very few relative to all of his fourth quarter comebacks. Suddenly nobody wanted to talk about, oh, he's overrated. It was, oh, the Cowboys, they need him. And I think there's something to be said for understanding when you lose your quarterback, hey, yeah, we actually had a good one. Personally, that's just me. And that's my take on the narrative that we get from that kind of stuff. But either way, I mean, Brandon, I think on the whole, we're both in agreement of how the Cowboys should prioritize these guys.
Yeah.
It seems like the Cowboys organization is not on the same page as far as prioritizing any of them. No. So we will continue to wait with bated breath on any sort of development with any of these three guys, and most likely continue to just complain and be upset and be disappointed until we get to training camp, and then everything will be magically better because football's back. But that, I think at that point, it pretty much wraps up what we're going to talk about, because otherwise it's just going to devolve into Trey Lance debates. And maybe the people want to hear more, but I don't want to partake in anymore, at least not this week. But we will be back next week. Hopefully all three of us back together again. And we'll be talking more things Cowboys as we do every week here at the Writer's Block. But until then, signing off for Brandon Clements, the icebreaker himself. I'm David Howman, and remember, go Cowboys.